Hello and welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast with your host, Amrit Sander. Today, I want to talk to you about the Gallup report that came out highlighting the UK is having some of the lowest employee engagement levels in the world. Now, ironically, it had gone up from 9% to 10%. But 10% of the UK population is engaged at work. That's a shocking figure. Now, before I dive into the detail, I want to explore two points firstly. One is, how well are we measuring engagement? Are we measuring engagement? Is 10% truly representative? And then secondly, what is it about the UK that makes us lower than most other countries, both from an employee engagement perspective, but also from a productivity? We've all heard about the productivity gap with the G7 nations. UK has historically been shown to be performing at the lowest level of productivity. And combine that with the employee engagement levels, is there something there that's going on? Is there something in our legacy that seems to be impacting on our engagement levels here? So before we dive in, I want to just look at the employee engagement levels and how we measure employee engagement. One thing I think that I have found frustrating is we tend to measure employee engagement based on three or four questions within a survey. But often what gets overlooked is what engagement looks like in one organization will be very different to what it looks like in another organization. So, you know, when we're looking at engagement, organizations aren't laboratories where you can control every variable. The variables are different in every organization. What keeps me engaged in one organization may not keep me engaged in another. So we need to make sure we're measuring engagement or how people are engaged. The output of all the experiences they're having at work, we're looking at those and assessing how well they're working for people there at that organization. So one could argue 10%, is that really representative? And how are we measuring engagement? All right, so look, it's a like-for-like comparison. It's improved by 1%. But I don't believe only 10% of the population are engaged. I think it's far higher than that. But that doesn't mean there aren't opportunities. I think we do need to change our mindset of how we think about engagement. What are the inputs that are impacting on your employee engagement levels, the output? You know, what are the experiences? How are people being managed? How are people being led? How are people experiencing the day-to-day environment of your organization, the culture? All of that will feed into how people feel about working there. Now, the second point is a bit, I think that there's something of a legacy here in the UK, which I want to just highlight. So back in the 80s and 90s, when I just qualified as a pharmacist and coming through the ranks of a pharmacist, I remember my time in corporate life. My first few jobs, our store managers were referred to as Mr. X and Mr. Y, typically men of a certain age, but you could never refer to them by first names. There was this hierarchy that it was almost disrespectful to refer to them as their first names. They wanted and demanded their names to be Mr. X and Mr. Y. And that was their way, I guess, of showing that they'd made it in life. But this legacy, this didn't come from nowhere. If you take it back to the Industrial Revolution, the UK was at the forefront of the Industrial Revolution. The working conditions were poor for people. Long working hours, poor working conditions. Whilst we've had progress in those areas, there is this legacy of workers and how workers are seen. Now, interestingly, there's a government report that comes out, which is the Social Mobility Barometer. And last year's data showed the general public, 48% of them, class themselves as working class. So this legacy is still inbuilt into us, no matter where we are on the social mobility scale. Nearly half of us would consider ourselves working class. So if we're considering ourselves working class, who are the other people? The managers who have made it, the ones in charge. And that then feeds directly into this whole emphasis of them and us, the social identity theory. So how do we go about, you know, breaking some of this down? Because we want everyone who comes to work to experience work as being a great place, allowing them to be themselves, allowing them to flourish. But if we've got these rigid mindsets of them and us, workers versus the managers, there's, for some people, there's no hope. I will never progress. And therefore, how can I be engaged in a place of work where I am seen as just the worker? I see myself as just the worker. And this goes to all the work that's been done on diversity and inclusion, the sense of belonging. If I believe I belong in an organization, I'm more likely to feel engaged, energized there, rather than working with people who have expectations because of their titles, you know, do as I say, not as I do, being treated differently. I remember when we went into, when hybrid working, remote working was really taking off, people were feeling really guilty about doing, about remote working. And there were others who weren't feeling guilty at all. And I noticed there was a slight, anecdotally, I noticed a pattern in how people were taking to remote working. People in leadership positions, senior leaders, senior managers, they were really comfortable with it. It was almost to say, I've earned this. And then there were those who were on the front line, junior workers, who were very, very uncomfortable with it initially, feeling guilty about it. Because it was almost a way of saying, I don't know if I've earned this. And again, this, I think it speaks to this them and us, the workers versus managers, the legacy of the Industrial Revolution, that the UK seems to have still been carrying this legacy mindset and suffering from this legacy mindset, this hangover of that time and that era, that could be at play here. This is my hypothesis. I'm happy for you to argue against me. But I do think there's something here about how we see workers, how we see managers, and those organizations that I think are thriving are the ones where they've broken down barriers. And they've said, you know what? If you're passionate about what we're passionate about, it doesn't matter about your social class, it doesn't matter how you speak, your accent, your looks, your background. If you want to thrive here, we're going to give you everything you need to thrive. And it's hard not to be engaged in a place like that. So one of the ways, I guess, if you're a leader of an organization, a manager, look around you. What's the makeup of the people around you? Are you truly representing the people who might be where your office is based, where your locality is, your customer base? Are you truly representing them? And if not, why not? What's got in the way? And is there a sense that people can really be themselves at work? Can they really express themselves and who they are at work? Or is this legacy mindset, is that still in existence where managers are treated one way and workers are treated another way? I remember when I was in corporate life, there was I used to work in a place where nobody had any preferential treatment, except behind the scenes they did. And there was one manager who used to have his own little parking space hidden away, thinking nobody knew it. But it was the talk of the office. Everybody used to highlight the fact that how this one senior manager had managed to have this little parking space for himself, thinking nobody knew about it, and everybody knew the hypocrisy. And that was another subtle way of highlighting workers versus managers. Those who have made it, who deserve it, versus those who don't. So look, the Gallup report, 10% of the UK population engaged. I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I think it's much higher than that, but that doesn't mean there aren't issues. There aren't opportunities. The Industrial Revolution could be getting in our way. Britain was at the forefront of the Industrial Revolution. Are we now paying the price for that legacy, for that hangover? And what can we do about it? How do we strip it all out, blank canvas, and focus on creating a sense of belonging? Getting people to buy into a purpose, a mission, excited by what we're here to achieve. Doesn't matter if you've got a funny accent. Doesn't matter if you are different in any way. Because here, collectively, we're going to thrive. So I'm going to leave you to read that report and form your own views of why you think Britain's engagement levels and productivity, the G7, is this again linked to that whole long working hours, poor working conditions? Are we still suffering from that legacy? And how do we go about changing it? I'll leave you to have a think. That's all for me today. Join me again next time for more thoughts on leadership development, culture development, employee engagement, employee experiences, and everything else in between. Amrit Sender from The Engagement Coach. I shall see you soon. Take care.
The Engagement Coach Podcast.